All right, I want you to look again this morning at verse 13. Today's text, you'll notice the Lord's disciples sort of dropped the ball when it came to the day's activities. It says, verse 13, "And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf." Now, everybody knows that when you're going out to sea and then later disembarking on another shore, the one thing you better make sure of in preparation for is the food, and especially so. Especially in the first century where there were no McDonald's or 7-Elevens or Chick-fil-A's along the way, probably closed on the Sabbath, of course, back then. Every traveler carried his meals. But on this journey, we notice that verse 14 says what the disciples forgot. Well, they forgot the bread. Now, of course, we know that they had some bread available because of what had just happened back in verse 8. It says, "So they did eat," verse 8, "and were filled, then took up of the broken meat that was left, seven baskets." So it's not that they couldn't have brought some, it's just the Bible says they forgot about it. And by the way, the fact that they forgot about it is apparently on their minds a lot. We know that because when the Lord starts teaching about the leaven of the Pharisees, there in verse 15, they assume that it's to call them out. Verse 16 says, "And they reason among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread." In other words, they're bothered and feeling guilty about what they've done. "Matthew, did you get the bread?" "No, I forgot." "Maybe James did." "James, did you get the bread?" "No, why didn't John remind me?" And so they're worried about this. They're actually fretting. As we'll see in just a moment, they're in despair. And you know what? That's when they endure one of the most pointed and personal rebukes ever from the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, "And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember?" Wow, folks, that's some strong medicine from someone that you love and somebody that you wanted to please. And he's not even finished yet. In verse 21, he said unto them, "How is it that ye do not understand?" So you understand what, Pastor? What's he talking about to his disciples? Well, how do they understand not the lessons of those leftovers? The lessons of the previous verses. Look at verse 19, and we're going to pray. "When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" They say unto him, 12. It's almost like a parent to a child. "How many?" And they said, 12. "And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" And they said, 7. I want to speak this morning on the subject, hurricane food. Hurricane food. You know, I trust this morning that we will understand all the lessons of the leftovers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, dear God, for blessing us already. In the Sunday school hour with this dear family, burdened and following your will about a field in Thailand far away. But we know that you are there ready and waiting. I thank you for the blessing of the music already today. You've spoken to our hearts, but now we come to the preaching and the teaching of your word, and I pray you'll open our hearts and our minds and cast out all distractions, please. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. 2 days ago, early on Friday morning, somewhere around 4 a.m, I woke up with a bit of a headache, and so I figured that I should go down and drink something and maybe take an Advil with some food. Now, food meaning, you know, just something small. And sure enough, when I looked in the cabinet, I noticed that we had what we all here call hurricane food. In this case, it was Gatorade and little packs of these almonds right here. Basically, these were leftovers from Hurricane Matthew. How many of you still have water or canned goods from Hurricane Matthew still? All right, almost everybody here. That's amazing. How many of you still have shutters you haven't taken down yet? Slackers. How many of you still have Christmas lights from last year still up on the outside? All right, yeah. Same ones who have the shutters up. In our text this morning, the Lord Jesus uses the anxiety and the fretting of his disciples over food to remind them of some of the most powerful lessons Really, of his entire earthly ministry, these are lessons that these very men would desperately need in the days ahead. You notice he says in verse 18, do you not remember? You see, they forgot not just to bring the bread, but they forgot the lessons of the bread, the lessons of the leftovers, and for me, the hurricane food. You say, what kind of lessons, Pastor? Well, the first thing I want you to notice, number one, is the most obvious lesson of provision. Look again at the way the Lord asks the question in verse 19. When I break the five loaves, not many, when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? You can see the emphasis here on taking a little five, turning it into 5,000 with baskets full of fragments. In other words, do you not remember that I more than provide for my own? Do you not understand that instead of being fearful right now about the fact that we have no bread, you really ought to be grateful? Look at verse 6. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he, Jesus, took the seven loaves and gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples to set before them. Let me ask you a question. What is it that's significant about the Lord Jesus giving thanks and being grateful at this point in the narrative? Well, folks, it's very simple. He was grateful. He broke the bread and he looked up to heaven, the other text says, and he gave thanks before it was a feast. He gave thanks when it was still small. Everybody else probably did when it was a miracle and blew their minds. And so, think about your hurricane food. A lot of hands went up. How many people would have truly been thankful for it had it been necessary by now to eat it? I mean, suppose we were all without power this past 3 weeks. Stores are closed, restaurants are closed, you can't cook at home. You know that that Chef Boyardee would look pretty good right now at home. And in fact, you know what? When I looked at this hurricane food Friday morning, it occurred to me that for a lot of people, most people in Haiti and elsewhere, the very idea of stocking up with food before a storm, it's unheard of. That's a luxury they could not afford. The truth of the matter is people in Cuba don't buy hurricane food. They just have food. It's called daily bread. So that really, beloved, we are reminded that we have a lot more to be grateful for than just the amazing meal we will all eat this afternoon, because our God is a God of provision. Let me say, by the way, not reluctantly. God is a God of provision, and he is so because he wants to be so. God's very nature is love, provision, creation, and abundance. It's why David cried out in Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord God who daily loadeth us with benefits." Note those three words, daily loadeth benefits. Well, I just don't see any daily loading of benefits in my life. Really? Then you know what? Verse 18 is probably for you. Having eyes, see ye not. And having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember? I remember after Hurricane Jean in 2004, we had been without power for about 3 days. Not that long, really, at that point, except by the third day. The situation with no coffee was affecting a lot of the neighbors' demeanor. People were walking around like the zombie apocalypse, looking for something, not knowing what. And so, you know, I decided to take we had some Sterno, and I decided just to heat up some bottled water in a little pot. And I just poured that over the grounds into a little makeshift filter. And I got to tell you, as crude as it was, I could have sold that stuff in the Heights for $20 a cup, which is about what Starbucks is now, amen? The point is, if your eyes are open, even the smallest provisions in everyday life are tokens of God's goodness and reason to both trust him and thank him. You know, when our Lord mentions the 12 baskets, and then he mentions the 7 baskets of leftovers from those 2 miracles, I've often thought about what it must have been like to eat those leftovers in the days ahead.
Because you realize, if nothing else, eating that was a reminder, utilizing all five senses, of the faithfulness of God. Touch, smell, taste, see. What about hearing, Pastor? Well, I would imagine by eating the food that you saw the Lord multiply, you would remember hearing His prayer and giving of thanks when it was small. There's a lesson of provision here. Some time ago, I read a fascinating book on cultural expansion over the centuries. And in one part of the book, it describes how just in the 17th century, there were entire civilizations, entire people groups that had never seen or tasted scores and scores of foods that we today enjoy anytime we want. Millions of people were born and lived and died having never seen or tasted a peach or watermelon or chocolate or ice cream or hamburgers. Now look, folks, I've never tasted Vegemite from Australia. Looks like axle grease, tastes like rusty nails, I've been told. But I would know, I've never had it. Scott loves the stuff. Obviously it makes you strong and good looking, but even though I've never once had it, I can. It's at Publix. I won't, but I could. It's probably good hurricane food. But you know what? It's also a reminder that God has been very, very, very good to us, because both in abundance and in variety, how in the world can a child of God complain about his supply in the United States of America in 2016? And yet complain, many people of God do. The second lesson you'll notice in the text, after the lesson of provision, number two, is a lesson of protection. You know, you'll notice in verse 4, it says, note this, that the disciples were with the Lord Jesus, quote, in the wilderness. And then in verse 10, it says that they left the wilderness and went out on the water, same waters that terrified them with a storm before this. So you see, note this, folks, always and everywhere, the followers of Christ were in need of divine protection. When I look at this hurricane food, I am reminded on this beautiful, peaceful Sunday morning that for my 58 years on earth, including 3 weeks ago, God's hand of protection has been very evident and very gracious. A few days ago, I came across a catalog of sermons preached way back in the 18th century. One of them grabbed my attention for obvious reasons. I'm going to show you the title page of the sermon on the screen behind me. And maybe Jeff can turn the lights down so you can see it. Now, if you can't read it, I'm going to tell you what it says. It says, a Thanksgiving sermon preached at St. Lucia. Now, we supported missionaries, the Butlers in St. Lucia for many years. A Thanksgiving sermon preached at St. Lucia the Sunday after the hurricane in October 1780 on board His Majesty's ship, Vengeance, Captain Holloway, and before Commodore Hotham, by the Reverend Touch, chaplain of His Majesty's ships, Allayed and Egmont. And it goes on in the bottom. You probably can't read it. It says, price for the sermon, 2 shillings. You know, 1 shilling was 12 pence. So for 24 pence, you could buy that one sermon. If you want to put that in perspective, for 1 shilling, you could buy 2 Shakespearean plays. That means 240 years ago, people would value sermons more than entertainment. Amen? That also means we should pass the offering plate again. These sermons are worth at least 24 cents. Amen? But imagine this. Here is this preacher standing on board this ship from Great Britain. It's battered, and it is weary from a hurricane almost 240 years ago. This sermon, by the way, is 40 pages typed, single space. I read the entire thing word for word. It's about 2 hours of preaching in the hot tropical sun. The sermon is strong. About half of it just blasts the papacy for reasons I'm not sure. But the core of the message was directed right at the sailors and at the officers on board, reminding them that as they look out and see the broken trees of St. Lucia, as they notice the damage to their ship and to the shore, in fact, the entire fleet nearly was destroyed at St. Lucia, he said they should take note that their deliverance did not come at the hand of their noble captain or the Commodore, or by sheer luck. No, that preacher said, their lives were protected and spared by God alone. I can imagine the men on that ship standing and leaning as the boat robbed and rocked in the sea. And the creaking of the wood and the torn sails flapping in the breeze, they had experienced the worst terror of their lives and being reminded that God was their divine protector. And as he preached, hearing them say in their weary voices, "Amen," with that British accent. The text the preacher used that morning was from Psalm 116. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. But thou hast delivered my soul, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Nearly 100 British ships were destroyed in Barbados, St. Lucia, and later in Bermuda because of the great storm of 1780. But the living who heard that message and who prayed, and many others, the lives that were spared and protected, including, by the way, settlers to the Bahamas and Bermuda, many of which were wealth settlers, the descendants of which may well be in this room. And instead of saying, "Well, we got lucky, King Neptune smiled on us," those sailors aboard the HMS Vengeance knelt on a wooden deck and placed their trust in God. 3 weeks ago, right after Hurricane Matthew passed by us and scooted along the coast, they showed the storm track that we all watched on Thursday night and Friday morning. And Sunday morning here at church, one of the men showed it to me, and I said, "You see that little turn to the east just there at the Bahamas when the storm went away from Florida? That was at 8 p.m. when Pastor was having a prayer meeting." And then I said, "You see that little turn to the east when it was coming and they predicted a direct hit on Jupiter? That was when Remo was praying." Just make of that what you will, amen? But the truth is, that storm by about 45 miles or so stayed off course and off coast just enough to spare us in Palm Beach County, and later our friends in Port St. Lucie and in Vero Beach, and my widow mother up in Melbourne, all of which were told that a Category 4 would show them a direct hit. All were spared the damage and the destruction that we might otherwise be dealing with even today. So that for me, this hurricane food is a reminder that by God's hand, I didn't need it after all. And I give him thanks. And I remember that if he protected me through that one and all the ones before it, even in the 60s as a little boy, in Cape Canaveral with that terrible hurricane. And by the way, if by his wisdom I would have needed this, and if by his wisdom you and I all would have needed that, I could still trust that his power and his grace are sufficient. John Lowe, our missionaries to the Bahamas, Jason Lowe, he sent out an email the morning of October the 5th as Matthew was bearing down on them, and they were predicting 10 to 15 foot storm surges. Here's what he wrote. "The house is boarded up, and I've put an axe and a battery-powered saw in the attic for the worst-case flooding scenario. The power will go off soon. Pray for our safety and for the dear people of the Bahamas." Well, they got a direct hit. They lost their power for a very long time, but thanks be to God, Jason did not have to use that axe to break through the roof, and they're all okay today, just like the Windsor who did survive in the attic in Typhoon Haiyan. You see, folks, there is a lesson of protection. There's an old Scottish hymn titled, "I to the hills will lift up my eyes. Oh, whence shall come my aid? My help is from the Lord alone, who heaven and earth has made. Thy faithful keeper is the Lord, thy shelter and thy shade. Neither sun or moon, by day or night, thou shalt not be afraid." A lesson of provision, a lesson of protection. And then finally, number three, you'll notice there's a lesson of purpose. Verse 29, look at it very carefully. "And he saith unto them, By whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ." Can I ask you a question? How did Peter know that truth?
You realize that in part it was because of the loaves and the leftovers and the power of God demonstrated? Verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, say the next two words with me, after 3 days, rise again. You see, folks, note this. When the Lord Jesus talked about those leftovers and said, don't you understand? You have eyes and you don't see, you have ears and you don't hear. Don't you understand? That question was far deeper than most of them ever realized at that moment. They didn't understand yet that all of his miracles and wonders, all of his provision and all of his protection for them had a greater eternal purpose beyond the immediate. You know this? Never did our Lord Jesus work miracles or heal the sick out of mere whim or some sort of people's entertainment. Never was it for temporal reasons. He showed his disciples the eternal purposes that you and I this morning are all a part of as children of God. Last night at the Met in New York City, Metropolitan Opera. Do you know a lot of very wealthy opera fans dressed in formals and tuxedos were ushered out of a performance? It was a performance of Rossini's Guillaume Tell. That's the story about William Tell. The counterterrorism unit of the NYPD came in because of a white substance that was sprinkled out over the orchestra pit. Turns out that some genius actually sprinkled the ashes of his late opera mentor and lover during the performance. And that's what people had all over them. You know. By the way, Rossini's opera is actually about William Tell, as I mentioned. It includes something that opera lovers like myself all recognize. It's from the theme of my favorite TV show as a kid, The Lone Ranger. So maybe when the ashes were coming down, they were hearing dun 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 dun. I don't know. Hi-ho, silver ashes in a way, maybe. All I know is that there were some very angry millionaire New Yorkers last night, and I read some of their comments. One of them said, "This event has ruined my entire year." I thought, wow. For me, I'm good. But I suppose if your entire life is about opera or high society as a socialite, then yes, it would be ruined. But for men like Peter and James and John, our Lord reminds them that they have an eternal purpose. And so it is today for every child of God in this room. I have some leftover hurricane food that reminds me of God's provision and protection, for which I ought to give him praise and thanksgiving. But it also reminds me that it's not about me, and it's not about just here and now. Ultimately, it's about him and eternity and his glory among the saints forever. Because you see, folks, he did suffer many things. He was rejected of the chief priests. He was killed, and after 3 days, he did rise again, and today he is still bringing many sons to glory. I wonder this morning if you are grateful, if you are thankful and trusting God for all of the provisions that he gives you now, that he gave you in the past, that are in abundance and variety. I wonder if your faith for divine protection is strong in this changing world. And I wonder, believer, if you are engaged, faithful to his greater and eternal purpose for your life. Have you not heard? Do you not understand? Do you not remember, Jesus said to his disciples? And those very same questions, because we have the whole counsel of God. We have every word that God has given to us of that great event and more. Do we not understand that God is good, that God is powerful and protects his own, and that God has an eternal purpose for all of us here? Father, thank you. I pray, Father, we will learn the lesson of the leftover loaves. that you are powerful, that you are omnipotent, omniscient, that we have no reason to fret or to worry about provisions or protection or even our place in life in this world. Help us, Father, to learn and to understand, and a little bit more on this Lord's Day, to have our eyes open to your goodness that leads us all to repentance. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.